Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Gene Sands was an author, editor, and poet whose first collection of poems, Gandhi Dancing, was an award-winning book published in 2009. Before she passed away in 2016, Sands had prepared a new collection of her work. Her husband, Jack Sheedy, who is an author and editor in his own right, has completed the manuscript for a posthumous collection entitled Close But Not Touching, which will be released September 24th, 2017. Jack Sheedy is the first repeat interviewee for Nutmeg Chatter. His first appearance on the radio program was Episode 3. We'll be talking to Jack Sheedy about Close But Not Touching, about Gene Sands' work, and about the book launch, which will occur September 24th from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. at the Oliver Walcott Library, 169 South Street, Litchfield, Connecticut, an event which is open to the public, and all are invited. So stay tuned for our chat with Jack Sheedy here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. This is J. Timothy Quirk. We're here at WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio. Jack, thank you for coming into the studio today.
Thank you, Joseph. It's a pleasure to be here and glad to be back. I'm a record holder, I guess, right? The first repeat?
That's right. The first repeat interviewee. I interviewed you for Gandhi Dancing, and that was Episode 3. Now I'm interviewing you about Close But Not Touching, but we had actually interviewed you on a Nutmeg Chatter type program long before that, correct?
For Sting of the Heat Bug, yes.
That's right. You are an editor. You were the a former editor at the Catholic Transcript, and you had a memoir.
Yes. Memoir was Sting of the Heat Bug. And by the way, I'm still a correspondent for the Catholic Transcript. I'm not an editor anymore. I don't go to the office. I work from home. But I still enjoy working for that paper.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. And I'm a big fan of your memoir. I made sure my parents got it as well. And it's a fantastic book. And there is a Sting of the Heat Bug Facebook page.
Yes, and a blog that I use occasionally. So, yes, go to Facebook and type in Sting of the Heat Bug, and you'll find it right away.
Absolutely. But we're here to talk about, I'm a fan of your work. I really enjoy what you do. We're here to talk about Gene Sands' Close But Not Touching. First of all, once again, I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Gene Sands was a wonderful author and editor, and I had the privilege of interviewing her for an article for the Register of Citizen. Thank you so much. I was reading in part of the press material a quote from a very distinguished poet, David K. Leff, and he writes, "Emotionally powerful, deep with empathy, rich in details, Close But Not Touching elevates the ordinary in a way that touches the heart. In poems explore aging, raising children, domestic discord, love, and creative longing." Yeah, and the poke goes on, but I'm very, very impressed with that. David Leff is, as I said, a distinguished poet in his own right.
And a good friend of mine, too.
Oh, wonderful.
In fact, we saw the eclipse together at White Memorial the other day.
Did you enjoy watching the eclipse?
I did. It was we had a pair of glasses, and we passed them around because there were shortage of them. But we had fun. It was a community. We were like hundreds of people there. It was quite an event.
Wonderful.
Once in a lifetime.
And speaking of an event, there's going to be an event September 24th from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. at the Oliver Walcott Library in Litchfield.
That's right. 160 Main Street, or South Street, rather. 160 South Street.
160 South Street. And so that's going to be and open to the public. All are invited to attend.
That's correct.
For the book launch party. Let's get into a little bit of the book, if you don't mind. This is a collection that she had been collecting herself.
Yeah, I could tell you a quick story about that, if
please.
You like. I met Jean 30 years ago this month. This is still August. Our very first date was on August 13th, 1987. We went first to Applebee's, which was then located on the Winstead Road. From there, we had a supper there. We went to a movie. We saw the James Bond movie. I forget the name of it that year, but it's the one where James Bond is skiing down a steep slope in Bratislava, and he crosses into the border into Austria, I think, and crashes through the customs and says, "We have nothing to declare." And I was starting to fall in love with this woman next to me already, and I almost had something to declare right there. But that was another for another time. But from the movie, we went to Friendly's for a nightcap, ice cream and coffee and tea. And that's when I asked her to recite a poem for me, one of her poems, because we didn't have time before. We, sitting in the movie, we couldn't do that. And she said, "I don't really, memorize most of my poems, but there's one that I think I can remember." And she read "Close but Not Touching." And I want to maybe just read it very quickly for you, if I can.
Please, if you be so kind, this is Jack Sheedy reading Close But Not Touching by Jean Sands.
This is a poem about a married couple who have sort of fallen out of favor with each other. They're still sharing a bed, but there's something wrong in the marriage. Close but not touching. 8 years together, and we lie here, separated by a cat, stretched head back, belly exposed, contented between us, parted by time and words left unmended. In sleep, we touch briefly, but waken startled and pull back from what was to what is. We don't like this, but make no move toward change, afraid of refusal, afraid of what the other might want. As dawn lights, we smile, separated by a cat. That's close but not touching. And now I'll tell you the story that I'm trying to get to. It is now 30 years later. Jean has just died less than a year ago. She left behind a manuscript of poems that contain this poem. And she titled the book, the manuscript, Close But Not Touching. So the book that you see in front of us here, Close But Not Touching, is not something that I threw together from scraps of poetry found on her computer and on notebooks. These are complete poems that were already in a manuscript in one big file that she had already sent back and forth to Rennie McQuilkin, the publisher, and Courtney Davis, her close friend and fellow poet and confidant, a friend of 38 years. So she was well on the way to publishing this book up until around 2012 when her health began to fail and she had to put this project aside. Obviously, 4 years later, she was still not strong enough to continue working on it. She died on October 8th, 2016. We had a memorial. As you know, you went to the memorial
I
in
did.
April. Thank you for coming. And you heard me say something like, "I don't want the memory of my wife, Jean Sands, to disappear and get buried along with her." I want her to live forever. And I think poets do live forever as long as their poetry is out there.
It's
And
true.
so the day after that memorial, I contacted Courtney Davis, Jean's close friend. And I said, "I have the manuscript. I want you to help me put this into a real life book with, an artistic cover, blurbs on the back cover, an epigraph or two, a Library of Congress call number, an ISBN number, everything that makes a book into a real book for people to pick up and thumb through and read." She said, "What are we waiting for? Let's just do it." And so a month later, we were done with all the editing and minor stuff that we had to do. We had recruited all the authors for the blurbs on the back, including David Leff, which you just read. Also, Patricia Fagnoli, the former poet laureate of New Hampshire, Bessie Regneau, author of Memoirs of the Unfaithful Lover and a recipient of major awards, and Devine Verstandig, who is the poet laureate of Washington, Connecticut, and a close friend. All of these women were friends of Jean. We got the book done within a month, and then we sent it to Rennie, the publisher. Rennie McQuilkin, poet laureate of the state of Connecticut, publisher of Antrim House, which also published Gandhi Dancing, Gene's first book. Rennie completed his design and printing within, I'd say, 6 weeks, something like that. We went a lot of back and forth, proofing, you know, double proofing. A lot of work went into it, but it's almost perfect. I think it is perfect. It's a wonderful book. And, you know, Gene is one of the few poets in the world who can make me cry with her poetry. It's not because she was my wife. It's just because these poems are so emotional.
Absolutely. The poetry is very personal. One of the things that startled me, if you will, as a reader about it is just the power and the personal things that she shares within the context of her poetry. And we're getting into that. We're going to get into her style. We'll also get into some more poems. I hope that in the second segment you can read some more of Jean's work. We'll be back in just a few moments here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Here in studio at WAPJ Torrington Community Radio is Jack Sheedy. We are talking with Jack Sheedy about his wife's book, Close But Not Touching. Close But Not Touching is the manuscript that Jean was collecting and working on before she passed away in 2016. In the first segment, Jack read Close But Not Touching, which was the title poem. And in it, it describes a very personal story and very vivid imagery about a couple that is still sharing some space but not sharing that emotional intimacy. And it's illustrative of her work because a lot of her work is very personal and very emotional. That'd be a fair statement?
Absolutely. If you have a poem that you'd like me to read, then, you know, I'm willing to tackle that. But I first want to make really clear that these are not scraps of poems that were found in notebooks or, you know, half written on her computer somewhere. This was a completed manuscript. All we did was to, Courtney and I, put it into sections, reorder the poems a little bit, and do all the little detail work by recruiting other people to write about it. The title itself, I mean, it sounds as if I wanted to be sentimental about my wife, and so I chose my favorite poem as the title. But that's not what happened. She had already chosen this as the title.
And so, in the very first poem in the book is When Mother Stopped Remembering, and in it is very detailed and very powerful. A powerful story. I encourage people to read it. It's a little. I wonder if you'd be interested in reading that, or would you like to read another poem?
I'll read this one, sure. When Mother Stopped Remembering. She called everything the thing. Get me that thing in the closet to sweep the floor, the thing to scrub the pot. Last night at dinner with friends, I couldn't remember the word memorial. There is a memorial in Warsaw, a temple in Krakow, in Auschwitz, a place where time stopped. The earth split open and swallowed memories. Seated at the restaurant's round table, a journalist, a doctor, two poets, an abstract artist who could hide 1,000 souls in her paintings, but instead volunteers for the Shoah Project. We talk religion, each naming the one true way. Catholic, Protestant, Judaism, the universe. We discuss art exhibits, colors brilliant and shocking as a staring dead eye. Mother couldn't name kitchen utensils she'd used for 40 years, but never forgot the German soldier when she was a child in Hungary. The journalist writes about rites, marriages the church won't sanctify. On weekends, the doctor photographs blue sky, blood-red flowers, ivy like fingers scratching Birkenau's walls. At the table we talk about the mercy of God, his benevolence to those who are good. Where was God on Kristallnacht? Was he at Auschwitz, Birkenau, Belzec, Dachau, Treblinka, Buchenwald, Bergen-Belsen? As mother's memory failed, she grew silent. Her eyes clouded over. She gave up books. In Germany, they emptied the shelves, burned the books. The men, the women, the children.
That's Jack Sheedy reading When Mother Stopped Remembering, Jean Sands's very powerful poem. Obviously, that's a very personal story about her mother and about her ancestry.
I don't think I've ever read that out loud before. It's very moving to
it
me.
It is very moving and very...
I found it difficult to keep a straight voice, if you will, without cracking.
That's part of what Jean Sands, what her work does, is it really doesn't...
It doesn't let
mince
go
words.
Of you.
It doesn't
let you go.
Right. There is not a point where you can catch the
you can't escape
the
this.
Breath, if you will. Yeah. You are in this particular in this particular one, a very haunting, if you will,
terrifying.
Yes. Yeah. Point in time. Now with Jean, was trying to capture the moments that are very real, even the horror, if you will. That was an important aspect of her creative writing.
Yeah. She had a very difficult childhood. She was sexually abused as a child, and she had a couple of marriages that didn't turn out too well for various reasons. So she did not have a good time most of her life. I tried my best to make her happy, and I think I succeeded at some levels, but she could not get away from her past. She had to write about it. She had to get it out onto the page, and she did it to help other women. That's why at the launch, I'm going to be having four women who are, close friends of Jean's, read selections from the poem. I am not going to read the poems at this book launch. I'm going to introduce the women who are going to read the poems. And those women will be Sandra Bishop Ebner. She'll read from the first section. There are four sections. She'll read from the first section. And then Davine Verstandig will read from the second section. Courtney Davis will read from the third section. And Nancy McMillan will read from the final section. And then we will have refreshments and signings of books.
And that's, once again, at the Oliver Wolcott Library. That's in Litchfield, Connecticut. That'll be on September 24th from 1 to 3 p.m. at 160 South Road in Litchfield. So all are invited to experience this particular poetry. Now, is, with her legacy, if you will, mm-hmm. a legacy of poetry, the one thing that I would say is that she doesn't shy away from those personal, stories within her life. She actually faces them head on.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the kind of person that she was as a person?
Oh, she, I think I mentioned this in an earlier interview, but she would not like to have the windows rolled up in the car. She wanted to roll down the windows because the windows are tinted, you see. Mm-hmm. She wanted to see the real colors, whether they were brilliant or drab. She wanted to see what was really out there. She did not shy away from reality. She wrote about it. She savored it. She relished it. She endured it. Whatever you want, she experienced it the way it was, not the way you would want to cover it up.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll tell you what, we're on our second break. What we're going to do is we're going to come back and then take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk some more about Close But Not Touching, poems by Jean Sands. I'm speaking with Jack Sheedy. When we return, we'll talk a little bit more about the upcoming event. We'll hopefully have one more selection from the book, and we'll talk about Jean Sands more here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk here at WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio. I'm here with Jack Sheedy. Now, Jack Sheedy himself is an author and an editor and journalist. He has been working, he has worked with Courtney Davis to complete the manuscript that the late Gene Sands had worked on almost to completion, and it is entitled Close But Not Touching. There will be an event, an upcoming event on September 24th from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Oliver Wolcott Library, where there's a book launch, and a number of individuals will be reading some of her work. I'd like Jack to read just a little bit more of Gene Sands. Let's do another one from the latter section, if you don't mind.
You want Saving for Good. That sounds
Please.
Like a good one. Saving for Good. At my age, you don't save anything for good. Now you use that little red purse from Croatia, given to you this Christmas that could be your last. You take the gold jewelry from the drawer, clasp the delicate bracelet around your wrist, hang the filigree earrings on your lobes, wear the best blouse you own to the grocer's. You take the good china down from the shelf, treat the sterling spoons and forks like plasticware with daily use. You drink tea from that beautiful cup you swore you'd pass down to your children. Lay the handmade lace cloth across the kitchen table. Wear all of it out. Use it all up. This is the time you were saving it for.
That's a great message. That's in reading it and in hearing it, that's definitely a message that resonates for me. I'm sure it resonates for you as well.
And it's an example of Jean's poetry that is not on the real dark side. She was able to see hope in life as well as darkness. So I like the balance of poetry in this collection.
Absolutely. In fact, I just want to clarify, when we talked about the fact that she was able to look at life in a very straightforward way and be able to look at things head on, that doesn't mean that it was bereft of that light and humor and love of
right.
life.
Exactly.
And that's
she relished both. She
that definitely is something that encapsulates that message that says, yes, live for now, and those things that you might be trying to save for later, don't save for later. Do it now.
Do
I
it
think
now.
That's a very powerful.
You don't have much time left, no matter how old you think you're going to live to be. You don't have a lot of time. Do it now.
That's a very important message. Jack, is there one poem that you would like to read? Is there one poem that you think would be a great poem to kind of...
There is. I like this one because her favorite flower was the pink carnation. I once surprised her. I didn't know she liked pink carnations. I bought her some pink carnations one day just because that's what you do, right? You buy your girl, your wife, flowers or candy, whatever. Well, she'd never experienced that before. No one ever bought her flowers. And I did one day. But before I came into the picture, something else happened to her with the pink carnations that I didn't even know about. She had this experience at a post office, which I'll read right now.
Please.
Pink carnations. It was the lowest day of my life when I walked into the post office to find a vase holding three pink carnations on the edge of the counter. And when the postmaster shouted his usual cheery, "Hello, how are you?" I said things would never be good again. And he said, "This is for you," and handed me the carnations. Such kindness made me sob. Not just for this kindness, but for all the carnations the husband who was leaving never brought home to me.
Very nice. Now, you were talking about pink carnations, and looking at the cover of Close But Not Touching, it seems to me, it's an abstract work of art, but there is kind of a... floral quality about it, and specifically more of a naturalistic, I guess.
I see several shapes in here. I see birds. I see flowers. You see what you want to see in here, I think.
That's true. I see bodies of water.
Yes.
Yes. So.
And this painting was an acrylic done on paper by Gene Sands.
It was. Okay. That's fantastic. I was wondering who had created it. It doesn't surprise me that this wonderful piece of artwork is actually Jean
One of
Sands
her
herself.
talents that never really shone forth as much as her poetry did, and her articles in the newspapers.
That's right. Jean had a very had a large collection body of work that was in the newspapers. She r often wrote about things that were certainly interest to me, arts and culture, the goings on. She had an excellent relationship with the Nutmeg Ballet Conservatory, and
Yes.
she often wrote about the nutmeg.
She had a column called Nutmeg Nuggets, which she and I sometimes worked on together. Sometimes when she was too tired to do it, I would do it. But yeah, we had a great relationship with Sharon Dante, the founder of the Nutmeg, and she got us to write some publicity about her. And Jean had a column going in the Register Citizen in the weekend section for several years. Several years. I forgot when she started, but it was about 3 years worth of work, I think, that she did.
Well, I think her work is being celebrated. I'm so happy that it's being celebrated through the work that you're doing and bringing more of Jean Sands's work to life. And
As I said, I want to keep her alive, and this is the way to do it, by putting these words into a book form.
if people want to find out more information about Jean Sands, if they want to find out about her work, about the books that she does, or about this upcoming event, is there one place to go to, or
I
is there
think
a
the
couple of
best place
places
to
to go
go
to?
to would be go to Facebook and look for the Jean Sands Memorial page. And that started out as just the page to get people interested in attending her memorial, her service, but it has morphed into this book page, the close but not touching page. It just has a different title. It's the Jean Sands Memorial.
Okay, that's a good place
Yeah,
to go
and
for
I
more
have announcements
information.
in there too.
And the book is published by Antrim House, which has its own website there. That's Antrim, AntrimHouse books.com.
Right.
So to
And
find
there will be notifications in that website as well about upcoming events.
Is there one last poem, short poem, that perhaps would be a nice way to close out the our conversation?
Well, let me see. I don't know something. Okay, Four Sons. Something a little bit lightweight. Four Sons. No daughters, please. That's what I begged the gods each time I was pregnant. I don't have patience for girls, I said, messing around my kitchen, wanting attention, bitching through PMS. But now my sons are grown and have wives, and on holidays my place is the last place they want to be. Girls go home to their mothers. A son is a son till he takes a wife, but his mother will love him all of her life.
All right. Well, thank you, Jack Sheedy.
And thank you, Joseph Timothy Quirk.
For more information, you can check out the Facebook page on the Jean Sands Memorial page. It's JeanSands.
That's
Jack,
right.
thank you for coming in to Nutmeg Chatter.
Thank you once again, Joseph. It was a pleasure.
Nutmeg Chatter is a production of WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio. Some of the music has been provided by the Jingle Punks, courtesy of YouTube Royalty Free Music, so we thank you for that. Please stay tuned at 4 p.m. for The Hotspot with Darcy. It's a fantastic program with music, interviews, and more. And now we are closing our chat.